Good morning. This is Pastor Todd. Thank you for tuning in to the Gathering Place podcast. This week, a guest speaker is going to bring a special message for the church. Here is this week's special message.
So, Acts is all about what has happened and the facts to the story and testifying to the stories of how the apostles and the early church started. We're going to look at the power of the testimony. The testimony demonstrates the Lord's power through the Holy Spirit and our reliance on the Lord alone, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to stand up against persecution. The testimony demonstrates the Lord's power to perform physical and emotional healings and other miracles. It demonstrates the Lord's power in the outcomes of the Lord's discipline. It demonstrates the Lord's power as the only way to salvation. So first, testimony shows the power of the Holy Spirit in us and our reliance on Him alone. Acts 4:7-8. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, "By what power of what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people," I think I forgot to cut off where he started. Sorry about that. I also had problems with internet, so there might be other places where it's the PowerPoint's not quite up to normal. Sorry about that. But it just shows that Peter and John was relying on the Holy Spirit, and they were testifying before the rulers and elders of the Holy Spirit's power in them. And then Acts 4:29-31. "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we are able to speak the word of God very boldly, and we have courage to speak when usually we're shy or would not speak up in situations. And it's amazing what the courage of the Lord gives you. My testimony here is I grew up with a speech impediment. I couldn't say R's and I couldn't say L's. And I was very shy and very, would not speak unless spoken to, except when and even in school, a lot of times I wouldn't speak unless the teacher called on me. But they knew I was very smart, so I didn't usually get away with it in school because teachers would call on me. But so when the Lord spoke to me that to get practice in preaching, it took great faith to voice it to Byron and Nancy to say, "Hey, I'm Todd, I need practice." And the Lord has given me multiple times the courage to stand in front of all you people and friends to speak very boldly and also the wisdom and what to say as I relied on the Holy Spirit to produce those words. So This is where I'm asking for your participation. Does anyone have a testimony of how the Holy Spirit enabled you to do something that you and speak boldly of something that you would not otherwise would do in your natural state?
All right, so for years and years and years, I couldn't speak in front of people. And that was because when I was 9 years old, I used to do spelling bees. They had spelling bees in our school, in grammar school. And so I missed a word. And I still remember to this day, it was the word biscuit, and I spelled, oh man, now I can't think of it. I didn't know you were gonna ask me to do this. It was a word that sounds like biscuit, but anyway, I missed the word, and I spelled the like a brand name of something that was biscuit. I can't remember what
Bisquick?
It is. Bisquick, exactly. That's exactly what I spelled, and I was so embarrassed, and I was 9 years old, and that just shut me up for like the rest of my life, for a long time in my life. And so through Emmanuel Healing Prayer that I had for years and years and years, and the Holy Spirit touched on that particular incident. I was able to speak in front of people. I was head of the intercessors and at my other church, and I had to do a lot of speaking before people. And I don't think I'm perfect at it now, but God brought me a long way and healed the shame that I felt. He took the shame off that I felt, which incapacitated me from, I was leader of, when I was in high school, I was head of the choir in my senior year. And when I would lead them, I would just talk like this because I wasn't healed and I couldn't look up at the group. So God totally healed that through prayer and healing of the Holy Spirit, for sure.
Anyone else?
It's talking about, I'm glad you mentioned the word boldness. There were some years ago, Ron's wife was in the hospital, septic, double pneumonia, in a coma, and very huge concerns about her. And I met Ron in the parking lot as we were walking to the church, because I already saw in the spirit what was going to happen. I knew exactly what I needed to do, but it required boldness. So I asked Ron, are you prepared to see God do a mighty work? He said, well, I hope so. I said, yeah, you're going to witness something as we walk up to the room. So we got up on the floor, and then they had us dress up for our protection because of the septic, and we had to wear gowns and gloves and masks and everything else. But I knew what I was supposed to do, and it takes boldness. And I knew exactly. Ron didn't know what I was going to do, but I knew what I had to do. As soon as we walked in the room, he went on one side of the bed. I was on the other side of the bed. I did exactly what the Holy Spirit instructed me to do. And to get really close to her face and just say, good morning, Grace. That's all I was supposed to do. That's what I did. And Ron's sitting there. He's a witness to this. I got really close to her face. I said, good morning, Grace. She woke up, was totally healed, went home the next day.
So I thought of Pat and her art skills and how she has had to rely on the Holy Spirit to give her art skills that she thought she would never have. And so the second part of this, each section, I'm going to ask for, does anyone have a specific prayer that they want more power of the Holy Spirit in? Anything specific? Yeah, asking now.
Yeah,
like I want boldness with a coworker to be able to speak to them, or I want to be able to dance or without shame.
Yes, when I first started praying for people, I had to see them that they had some kind of illness, a pain or something like that, and I would go up to them and ask if I could pray for them, but that was only through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I do that now pretty much in my neighborhood when people come up and down, you know, the street, and we talk and they have illness, I usually try to pray for them, but there are times that they just want to talk. You know what I mean? They don't want too much of anything. So I have to ask the Holy Spirit again to just kind of activate me in that a little bit more than I have been lately. So, but it's a powerful experience, especially when you see people here. It's amazing.
June?
So I would like prayer that I would be able to see into men's hearts because I want to hit the mark. I don't want to just be praying peripheral prayers. I just want to hit the mark into someone's heart. Anyone's heart that I prayed for. I prayed for people as well, but
Did you have anything, or were you just clarifying?
I was just clarifying.
So I'm going to, unless someone feels led to pray, I'm going to pray and then move on to the next section. Lord, we thank you for opportunities to rely on your Spirit, Lord. And we thank you for you are a good Father, that when we rely on your Holy Spirit, we see men's hearts right where they are. Lord, June has asked for that specifically, Lord. Help her listen to you, open her ears and open her eyes, Lord, and give her specific opportunities where she recognizes it, that that was the answer to prayer, Lord. And Lord, we bless Pat, Lord. We bless her heart to minister, Lord. Let her see opportunities to heal the sick, Lord, and not just socialize, Lord, but really get to the matter of issues, Lord, because you want people healed not only on the outside but on the inside too. And we thank you for all of us in areas where we need boldness, whether that's with family, whether that's with coworkers, whether that's with ourselves, and boldness to approach your throne, Lord, to examine where our hearts are, Lord. Thank you, for you are a good God and you answer prayers. So the next thing that our testimony does, it helps us gives us courage to have the power to stand up against persecution. When we hear others and how they stood up against persecution, it stirs up that we can stand also. Acts 4:1-4. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. So even though Peter and John were in prison, the early church still grew. There are areas of the world where this is happening today, whether that's Africa or China or even the gangs of LA and the gangs of Chicago. When they see other people being hurt for believing in what's right, others can't help to ask, why are you doing this? And strong believers will speak up and stand up and give the reason, which is all about, they only can do it by the Holy Spirit and Jesus. I remember hearing Todd White testimony about how he was in the gang, and it was Dan Moeller who said, you know, you just need love. I'm just here to love you. And that changed his life. And then Acts 4:13, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. So I know Peter and John was physically with Jesus, but we are with Jesus now. When every time you get in the Word, every time you pray, every time you're with a believer, you're with Jesus. And people should be able to take note and be amazed at what the Lord is doing in your life. But Peter and John replied, "Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God, for we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." Even under severe persecution, Peter and John still spoke and did not deny Jesus. And then I'm going to synopsis the last part of chapter 5 because it's a very long passage. But basically, the Sadducees was filled with jealousy because everyone was listening to the apostles. So they had the apostles thrown into jail. Then angels came during the night and broke out the apostles of the jail. The Sanhedrins realized they weren't in the jail in the morning, and the apostles were found preaching. They arrested them again. Peter boldly said they had to obey God rather than men. They were flogged and released and not sent to jail. And then they continued to teach and preach, proclaiming the good news of Jesus. They were rejoiced in sharing the Lord's suffering. So I know many of us will not be flogged, will not be sent to prison, but we don't know that for sure. You know, we could be entering the very last days where even the United States, where it is laws govern right now that people aren't supposed to brutally beat others, but you never know. You know, persecution, we hear in the Bible, persecution will increase in the last days. But even in the smallest persecution, whether that's a coworker who makes your life miserable at your job, or a husband or a wife, depending on your gender, who hates Christ and makes it almost impossible for you to read the Bible or speak your beliefs, I'm sure each of us have a little bit of persecution in our life. We are called to still speak the name of Jesus and boldly declare his truth and promises. So in my life, I've had some persecution. I've had coworkers, I've had family very adamantly be against Christ, but my faith has not wavered. Over and over again, it has not wavered. And I am here to tell you, the Lord does not disappoint. So, again, does anyone has a testimony how they stood up against persecution? It's okay. I might call on people if... No. Yeah.
So I've had lots of persecution too, especially when I became a Christian and my whole family just kind of went away. And I may have driven them away because I was really, really, I was just very firm in my faith and probably not too much love, but anyway, they all came back. But anyway, they're not all Christians, but so I witnessed to people as well, and I've had lots of persecution just in the area. And I just remember this one time at Mariano's, was tried to witness to a man, and as soon as I got the words out of my mouth, he said, "Oh, you're one of those," and he said it really, really, really loud in the cafeteria part, and I just blessed him, and I walked away, and I just said, "Lord, get him before he dies."
And it's great and small. There's little and big persecution in this world. Anyone else?
I don't know if I'd call it persecution, but it was kind of a very unfriendly environment to the gospel. When Twyla and I lived in Indiana, we would go down every year. One of the brothers in our church was connected with another church up in South Bend, and they would go down to Indianapolis for the Indianapolis 500, where, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with it, but when they have the days before the race, there's thousands of people that camp out along the streets and it's a big party situation, and just a lot of, all kinds of things going on, drugs and things. So this one church would go down there, and they would set up a tent and share the gospel with people. And then we would go down usually for a day, join them for a day. Twyla would take her guitar. She'd do some singing, some of her songs, and people would come sometimes and watch that. But then we'd also do a little bit of open-air preaching and all that stuff, and as well as going some street evangelism. And so, it was just an opportunity to share the gospel. And there were times when people, really would be responsive and come, and especially when they would hear the music and it would touch their hearts. But, but also times many that were mocking and were just, whatever. But
does anyone know of any situation, don't name specific names, of course, where someone's being persecuted that we can pray for?
Isn't there a pastor in China again? It's not too much on the news now because President Trump isn't in office, but it's not the man that was released already because of President Trump, but there's a pastor that's not talked about too often that I believe is somewhere, I think it's China as well, who's still in jail. I don't know even the name.
Anyone else?
Well, it's really important to me. In the business world, I met a man, and talk about axing threats. He threatened me and said, in fact, words, "I am going to destroy you." And you know what? To learn the response, he says, "Pray for those who persecute you." Jesus gave some very strong instructions. So I told him, "I can't change my position, but God loves you." He said, "Well, you don't know. You have no clue. I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to." And I said, "Well, God loves you, sir." And I began to pray for him, and everything changed. He never came to Christ that I know, but he was removed from his high position and taken out of where he could not destroy. So God's protection is always there in persecution.
Lord, we thank you, for you are our protection, Lord. And we pray for the persecuted church. We thank you for our older youth are starting a series on the martyrs, Lord. Lord, encourage them through that. It's not just about how men were persecuted by others, but it's how God was faithful through the persecution, Lord. Encourage us when we hear stories that you are faithful in the persecution, whether that is this pastor in China and other pastors in China, or in Iran, or even the darkest places in the world, Lord, we just pray for breakthrough and break the chains, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So I chose the running because people have, like, that's one of the ways they celebrate is running, but power and physical healings. So Acts is filled with stories about the apostles healing lame and blind and physical healings. And so Acts 4:8-10, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we were being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed." Acts 4:14. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. And then I'm synopsis again of Acts 5:12-14. The apostles healed many more. Many believed in the Lord and was added to the number of believers. People can't deny when there's a physical healing. People can't deny when the doctor says there's no hope and the person miraculously is well again. And my testimony of this is I have a great-grandma and great-grandma that was beyond hope. They were both in comas. And miraculously, one after 13 days and one after 16 days came out of the coma, and one lived another 3 years and one lived another 9 years. And part of their story is if they had not woke up, they would have died without Christ. And because they woke up, they came to believe Jesus. And I will see them again. And the one was a bitter woman and did many bad things in her life, including running off her own daughter and never wanted to speak to her for over 35 to 40 years. And through the coma and through this daughter's perseverance after the coma, she came to know Christ because she could not deny why is the daughter who I hate coming to my house and cleaning it every Friday? Why is she doing this? I told her never to come. I don't want to ever see her. And it was the Christ living in my Aunt Barbara that brought my grandma Miller to Christ. People can't deny physical healings. So, again, it's time to testify.
So speaking of grandmas, my grandma, how she got saved is she was watching the 700 Club, and she had something wrong with her lungs. And my other is my mom's mom, and my dad's mom had just come over and said, who's a nurse, and said, "You have such and such in your lungs." She could barely walk around the house. It was so hard to breathe. And so she's laying watching the 700 Club. The guy in there says, "I have a word of knowledge. The Lord wants to heal you of such and such," and use the same word that my dad's mom had said to her, and she was Catholic, so she knew the Lord, but she said in that moment, if you heal me of this, I'll give my life to you. And she felt heat go through her body, and then she was able to run around her house. And so, yeah. And then unfortunately, people in her church said that doesn't really happen. Don't tell anyone about this. And so then just recently, she was at our house, and her hands are going numb. And I was like, Grandma, let's pray over your hands. And we prayed once, and nothing really happened. And I was like, okay, I'll pray again, but don't worry, we won't spend the whole night praying. I'll just pray a second time. And she said the numbness started to go away, and she looked so shocked, it's never happened to her before. And I was like, this is literally how you gave your life to the Lord, is through healing. So my prayer for her is that it would just almost ignite a new fervor and love for the Lord and the Word. So.
Good morning. I'll talk for Helen. She's not here today. She's with her son on a boat. So they're doing a little boat cruise today. But she basically was wheelchair. Before I met her, she was wheelchair bound for about a year. Perky, petite Helen was wheelchair bound and basically it was terminal with cancer. The Lord told her, and she fought him for about 6 months. She talks about it. She fought him. And he told her to go to the Gerson Clinic in Mexico and do the very natural things, juicing and enemas and very natural stuff. She fought him. She goes, Lord, I don't want to die in Mexico. And they took her conditionally, but she went down there, obeyed, and basically that started her road to recovery, right? And so basically now she's on her feet, and you see her every week, just full of energy, loves to hike and just enjoy life. And that was really, part of her progression of faith and progression of obedience. And so it's that was an incredible, powerful thing, in the kingdom when he really told Helen to go down there and to follow what he said, and he healed her. And the Lord provided someone to be with her. She didn't have anybody to go. You have to have a helper there that does the same thing with you. And the Lord provided somebody from, I think, San Francisco, or I forget where they came from, but she met them somehow, and miraculously they came and stayed with her and helped her through the process. So God is good.
Hi, I have a lot of stories, so I'm going to try to make them all short if I can. There are times that we've met people in the street, and there was one man going into the supermarket, and he was hobbling along, and Susan was with me, and we both prayed for him. I happened to have my hand on his shoulder when I was praying, and he said, is this going to take too long? We said, nope, not too long. So when we were done praying, we asked how he felt. He said, my leg still is bothering me, but my shoulder is healed now. It doesn't bother me anymore. So we were really happy about that. And there was another woman that was at a healing service, and we got words of knowledge. And one of the words of knowledge I had was in my shoulder and neck or whatever. And she came, and we prayed for her, and we prayed a long time for her. And as we were praying, I had my hand on her back, and I could feel the knots and the bumps and everything change dramatically. And when she came to us, actually, she was from the back of the church and ran all the way forward for the prayer. And she was in tears when we saw her. Later on, when she said, I think I'm better, and we prayed several times for her. And when I saw her later in the church, she's walking around, big smiles on her face. I said, how do you feel? I feel great, she said. My shoulder is healed. Everything is totally healed. But for me, the most amazing thing, personally for me, is when I had a stroke last year. And when I was in the hospital, I really couldn't say words very carefully. And so they had a speech therapist come to my home, and she worked with me for a while. And I think now, as time has gone on, because it's been a year to this date, I was talking to my son-in-law the other day, and he said, you know what? He said, you are so much better than you were a year ago. And I said,